at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, everybody, we are back, and hey, want to welcome in the 97.1 Home Improvement crowd fans joining us here. We got KMOX, we got 97.1. Everyone can find me at the same line. 314-436-7900 is where you can find me. If you're far away and you want to get in on that, you can do 1-800-925-1120, get you right to the same place, right to me. Anything about your home, anything you have going on. We've had some really great questions in the first hour. A lot of great conversations about different things. And I do always appreciate when some of the calls come in, and sometimes they even just kind of make a comment, don't even really get on the air, or if you have some thought or something that happened to you about some of these where you can have a little input to try and help out. We appreciate that too. Again, you can find us here at 314-436-7900. And so we were talking earlier and we got a call in that just kind of made a comment, something to think about. And on one of the calls that we had went through and kind of answered and everything. And yeah, it is something that when you have time, I get a lot of questions about our professional services, our architectural services, our designing. How do we go through it? And really the biggest question is, why do we need to do a lot of the different things that we're doing? But it's so that we can take the time to really think and advise well and do some research on a thing. So the call in we got was about the boat dock, the marine grade decking, the plastic PVC, all of this stuff. And it is a great point that when you just didn't think about in that moment. But if you're going through a good process and figuring out how to do this and having a lot of conversations and doing research, I'm sure something would have came out. But about, and it's deck boards getting hot. So yes, those composite deck boards, the PVC, all that can get really, really hot. So definitely thinking about and researching into lighter colors for that. You start to get into a really dark wood look or the darker kind of PVC colors, the lighter color is going to get a little less hot than the rest. The other advice would be, you know, keep those flip-flops on the dock, keep them around so that because you come off and you get on that deck and it's had the sun beating on it for 4 hours. It can get super, super hot where you might not even be able to walk across it. So something there for Donna to kind of think about if she's still out there and listening is, as you're doing selections, talk to them about how much might this heat up and which one might get hotter than the other, and kind of keep that in the forethought as you're going through your process of finding what you want to use and what you want to put on there. Of course, water shoes are awesome too because you can just have them on. They got the rubber soles. They get wet. They do whatever, and that'll help protect you too. So can possibly do whatever you like, but it's definitely something that going through good processes and figuring out, you can think about and figure a lot of this stuff out to make sure that you're good and educated and getting the best project done for you and just – if you can have the least amount of regrets possible after you do something, that's a good thing to really kind of go through and think about and take your time and do the steps and do the processes to figure everything out, because that's one of the goals. You want to get as much information so you can understand all of the investment that you might get into, but also not to be everything said and done. You're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have really used that flooring. I wish I wouldn't have really done this or that. And I kind of jumped into it too fast. And so take the time, figure things out so that maybe you do it one time, because it definitely always costs way too much to do it again and cost more the second time and all of that. So, but hey, we've got Stan on the line here. So let's jump to the phones and see what Stan has going on for us. Are you there?
Hi, yes. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. I have a pair of French doors that go from my top deck, and below that are another pair of French doors for my bottom deck. And during the recent storms, I realized that the French doors on the top of my deck, they were letting water inside at the sill, and they've been apparently doing it for some time. And the way that I realized it is I had water coming down the door on the first floor on the inside of the house.
Uh-huh.
And so rather than, you know, I would probably not like to replace the doors because I would suspect that they were expensive, but what can I do or how does that happen? Because it's actually rarely opened, the door that was leaking.
Uh-huh.
So how do I fix that?
Well, so it's definitely a little bigger project than you might think. I'm guessing when you said decks outside, you're talking about like a wood framed, maybe a composite or PVC deck floor on the deck that's outside of that French door.
No, it's a concrete double layer deck. So the top is concrete. And then the bottom is also concrete as well. It's kind of like an outdoor gazebo type thing.
Okay, gotcha. So, in on the house, the wall of the house itself, is it brick or is that siding or what kind of products on the outside of the home?
Yeah, on that side, it's Masonite siding.
Okay. So, yeah, so really, with that, the best thing to do is you got to try and, I mean, everyone will talk about just caulking things to kind of keep water out of it and driving rain, getting right at that sill and getting in there. But sealants and caulking are a very short-lived product. And depending on how well it's applied and everything else, it can sometimes only last maybe a year if you're lucky, to a couple, 2 or 3 years. You end up right back at the same repeating process over and over again. And really how that door is flashed to the wall and the floor is really what you're looking for. So if I were to come and say, how do I flash that door to keep this from happening? What I'm doing is I'm uninstalling that door completely and I'm taking it out of the hole and I'm doing a flashing at the sill. And sometimes what I'll end up doing is like a pan, even make it out of metal where the metal can kind of form into flashing that goes to that deck so that any water that gets there comes back out onto the surface of that deck and you flash the sides of the door down onto and over top of the flashing from the bottom in the sill. So that metal pan we make or the rubber tape flashing, we wrap it up the sides so they go up the wall about a foot and they wrap around the sides of the wall. So you're kind of taking off that Masonite trim all the way around that door. Sometimes we'll even cut the siding back a little wider and then go with a wider trim so we can put flashing tapes and things like that on the wall, because what you're trying to do is get the water that's coming around this door down kind of to that flashing pan and that bottom flashing and then back out onto the deck. Then you can reinstall your door, seal it at the bottom, seal all the sides, trim it up, caulk it, paint it to the Masonite siding, and now you've protected that door where anything that starts getting in there can come back out to the surface.
So I am, that part I understand.
Okay.
The place where it was leaking was really odd. So the door has got that piece on the bottom, right, with the screws on it that is the sill.
Uh-huh.
And for my door, it's wood. And what I saw is that wood is to some degree failing, or it's gotten so wet over time that it's, you can put your finger on it. So I guess it's failing.
Yeah.
But that appears to be the area where it's coming in, but maybe I'm wrong. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to stop that.
Yeah. So is it mostly near like the corner towards the wall, or is it just kind of that whole wood sill?
Certainly at the wall part is the worst.
Yep.
But it's gone over time.
Yeah, because basically what happens is that water comes around the door and down the sides, and then it starts to wick into that sill. It starts to wick into the frame, and the bottom corner of the frame starts to rot, and the sill starts to rot. But a lot of that water is actually from higher up on the door running down. So with that being that way, and the correct way to flash it to keep water going where you need it is to take the door out and reinstall the door, I would opt towards a new door at the same time, because you'll get everything put together, new seals, new threshold working well. You can get a door with a threshold that's self-adjust, so it doesn't have those screws anymore. So it will literally self-adjust itself. So if the seals on the bottom start wearing, it'll raise up on its own to tighten up and help keep that water where you need it going. So there's a lot of advantages towards getting a new door at the same time. So, yeah, this is definitely something that I do with Mosby all the time, replacing these to stop that water from getting in, because there's probably some getting to the door below too as this happens more and more, and you want to stop it before you get too much on that door on the lower deck, because it'll follow that wall down to the top of that door. So you got a pretty decent sized project there. I would consider a new door and make sure it's flashed correctly.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for your help.
No problem. Appreciate it. Great question. Something we deal with all the time here. We're going to jump into a break. If you ever have these door issues, these flashing issues, you can give Mosby a call and have me or one of my guys, like do what I do, come out and check it out and kind of educate you on all of this. So you can find us at 314-909-1800 for those issues. For everybody else, 314-436-7900. Dave, you can hold through the break. I'll get to you as soon as we return, right after this.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, here we go. We are back, and let's get straight to Dave here and see what's going on. Dave, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you very much.
Awesome.
I have a all-cedar 15-by-20-foot deck that was professionally built about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, perhaps.
Okay.
At that point, the... after the deck was completed, 3-4 months later, I had been instructed to use a premium quality oil-based sealer, which I did. I actually hand-brushed it on, waited a few weeks until it was completely dry, and then brushed another coat on, and everything was fine. Up until perhaps last year, and I should also say that the joists are 16 inch on center, and the floor decking has two screws every 18 inches. So the last year or so, the deck kind of all over as I walk across it is creaking. And I have supplemented in some areas an additional deck screw, so I would have three screws every 18 inches, which seemed to help a little bit, but not, you know, it still squeaks in some areas. So I'm looking for some guidance here.
Okay. So even after you added the third screw in each deck board, you're still getting a lot of squeaking? Quite a bit?
Yeah, quite a bit. Not as much as the boards that only have two screws.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, the next thing really, because the squeaking is basically the wood kind of moving or shifting, and as you walk, it's, if it has bounce to it, it's wood rubbing, that sort of thing. So the third screw is definitely the first thing I would have recommended. So you were definitely on the right track there to try and make sure those deck boards were tight to the floor. So my guess would be if your deck is coming out 15 feet, it's probably the span. You're getting some deflection in the whole floor joist because of the length of it is kind of moving up and down a little bit, causing some of that squeaking also. So trying to do something to tighten up the floor joist underneath and take a little bit of that bounce out of it would be probably the next step of trying to see and get that wood to stop kind of sliding around and squeaking so much. So making sure that all of the connectors, the joist hangers, everything's real secure there up against the house and out on the outside edge of where the deck ends is a good idea. And then you might just end up needing to put more support underneath that deck to kind of take the bounce out of the floorboard.
I understand.
That floor joist. That would be the next thing. You can try to just maybe cut and add some blocking in between them and kind of nail that in. So basically between the 16-inch on center floor joist, if they're 2x10s, get a 2x10, cut it 14.5. But, you know, that distance between the two, put them in there and nail them through the sides, and you can start with that, and you kind of offset them so you can nail through the side pretty easily each way. So they won't be all necessarily a straight line. They kind of zigzag stagger so that you can nail them or screw them real good. And that would be kind of the middle range between adding support and making sure those ends are secure. Add something through the center there, see if that helps. And if it's still pretty bad and that's not helping, then you're probably going to want to just add support underneath it, like a beam with a couple posts that'll kind of keep that take the deflection out of that floorboard.
Excellent. I understand all that you said, and I appreciate your help very much.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, appreciate the call. Lot of decks going on today. A lot of decking, deck questions, and of course, the most common topic all the time, water really seems to be the root of all evil with the home. Of it's just the worst thing that keeping it out. Mother Nature basically uses that to try and bring everything back to its original state. And so, yes, battling water is just a big, big thing, and it's something that we do all the time with so many houses and new, old. I mean, it sometimes old even seems to have better bones than some of the newer stuff and how they build newer stuff. So I've definitely got a lot of things like that we can kind of chat about, and a lot of things I've seen we can chat about coming up. So we're going to get into our middle hour break here. We've got plenty of time, two more segments. For everybody out there, anything you need about your house, give me a shout here today, 314-436-7900, and we will take your calls as soon as we're back.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, we are back. Man, a lot of great topics, a lot of great questions. Again, anything you need, we've got all kinds of time left here, going right up to the top of the hour, 314-436-7900, get you right to me, and we can help you out. I love helping out, and a lot of these questions and things that we end up against, I know a lot of people out there, and when I go out and I see this all the time, I'm always trying to explain how common this can be as much as I can, just because I know so many people, they just, they're like, why me? They feel so alone. They're like, oh, I don't, my neighbors probably don't have this. They probably do. And we've seen issues with the way homes are built, and there's a problem, and it's 30 houses up the street, and they got to do it and fix it to every single house. I've got one where it's like 5 houses built the same way. And definitely take caution on just buying something new and thinking, yeah, this is perfect, this is great, like I'm not going to have issues for forever now because I got this new place. And well, the builder's probably guaranteeing you that you're not going to have issues for 12 months. So not everything is done the best way possible every time. And so like what Stan was calling in and asking about the French door, that is something that I see way too often with those type of doors. I've got one right now that I'm finishing up pricing out and figuring out what the new door is and how to flash it properly. And this one has a couple of concrete steps from the patio leading to this door. And I'm explaining why we got to take these concrete steps out, and we have to protect this wall because they're getting all this damage to the framing and the flooring and the basement. We're going to have to take out a couple, 2 or 3 rows of the hardwood flooring and fix subfloor and fix band board and fix sill plate and do all this work and take these stairs out to redo this. So now he's got to figure out, now what do I do with my patio, or do we do a different type of stairs? There's so many things and decisions in this, but it's so much more than just putting in a door and putting some caulk or sealant around it. That almost never corrects that issue, or if it does, it literally run for the hills, because I'm telling you, it will be back 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, somewhere in the life cycle of that, you're returning it to the same state it was in. So it will reoccur. So kind of keep that in the back of your mind as you're looking at this. Am I getting a real fix that comes with a 10-year workmanship warranty that talks about, we're going to include this in there because you're giving us the ability to perform everything to make sure it's right. So not only do I have one that I'm kind of figuring out and pricing for someone right now, but I've got another one that we're putting in the door, and we're changing the door and all the flashing and everything. And this house it's in Chesterfield. It's kind of right near Highway 40 and Olive Clarkson, right in that area. The house is on Zillow, saying it's worth about $850,000, and it was built in 2021. And yes, we are putting in a new door on a 3-year-old house right now, because the other door is kind of builder grade, and even in a house of that magnitude and investment level and everything else, you've got this kind of builder grade French door. They had a couple issues with the door from the beginning that the builder even ended up having to come back and replace a panel in the door. And then they started getting all this water in the basement from around the door, the way the doors flash, there's a deck, how it's flashed to the deck. So kind of like exactly like I'm telling Stan, yeah, we're taking this door out, we're putting it back, and you've got a 3-year-old door that you've already had work done, and they've changed a piece of glass out in the field and reinstalled the door and all these issues. So Do you want a better door with a better warranty that matches or exceeds even what I'm talking about with the 10 years and all this? So opted, yes, let's get the new door, because oftentimes you just use the same door and then you end up with a problem with the door and you're right back at square one. You got to redo all those steps. I'm taking off vinyl siding. I'm flashing everything. I'm getting it right. Taking off deck boards to reflash the deck the proper way and get water going where we need it, putting part of the deck back together, putting the door back in. So there's all these different things that we do to reassure that this doesn't happen anymore. And I can tell you too, so the frost on the walls in the basement is definitely something that I've also seen in the past, and again, it was on a newer home. The home was actually still under warranty with the builder, so the home was not even a year old the first time I saw it, and that's why I was kind of asking Wayne, was, well, first off, is it a concrete wall or is it a framed wall? Because you get these walkout basements, and they step the foundations down towards the back, and then they frame walls in the basement. So the rear wall of this basement was a framed wall, and they put insulation in it, and they just kind of walked away. It was like, yeah, good, we're done. Well, there was a lot of water collecting at the back of this home underneath the floor, mainly because they put the sump pump at the front of the home. It's at the front corner. So it's picking up water around the footings, and it's pumping it out and putting it out towards the street in the yard. But the front of the home, the footing is much higher than the footing in the back of the home, because remember, they only dig down so deep. So they kind of step down the footing. So you have more area for water to collect at the back of the footing, in the back of the house where the footing's lower. So really, a better thing to do would have been put that sump pump at the back of the home and let it collect all the water, and then the higher footing can send it down from the front towards the back, and it would get rid of more. So he had a ton of moisture vapor coming through this floor, creating really high humidity in the basement. And then he's got a framed wall with a little bit of insulation, but a lot of air infiltration, and the house wasn't wrapped well and all this stuff. So we had to take off stuff from the outside and wrap it better and flash it better to also help block more air infiltration. But then finishing that wall system on the inside, making sure the insulation's good, drywalling, taping, closing that off so that the temperature doesn't mix with the inside temperature of the basement. So that's kind of what Wayne was trying to do, is if I glue this 2-inch sheet to my concrete, that will kind of help keep the temperature of the air off of the temperature of the concrete itself, because that's the problem he's having with it being a concrete wall, is you've got moisture coming through, you've got high humidity, you've got air infiltrating around the top of the wall. So you have warm air mixing with a very cold surface of a concrete wall that's above ground that could be holding moisture and that is infiltrating in around the top. So you're trying to separate, if you think about it scientifically, you're trying to separate that temperature and those surfaces so that the condensation doesn't form. So keep the temperatures apart, keep the humidity down, you'll get less condensation, you'll get less frost. And the other place I've seen it before, and I actually have pictures of one that I climbed up into an attic on a nice cold winter morning, and we moved the attic hatch. I poked my head up in there, and literally the entire underside of the roof on the inside is frozen. It's covered in frost. Every nail that was poking through from the shingles, and there's a lot of those nails, had like a ball of frost on the end of it. It was kind of, for me, unfortunate for them, but for me, it was kind of magnificent because the timing was perfect for me to go, oh my gosh, I've seen so much of this, I've actually gotten to see it actually occur. I've described it and understood it, but to hit that timing right, to be able to actually see it. But it's the same theory as that basement. Imagine you're keeping your house 72 degrees in the winter, and inside your attic is ventilating, and it's freezing outside. So the inside of your attic is 30 degrees or 24 degrees, and you've got all this air leaking from the house into the attic. Again, it's create the separation of that attic, stop the air, insulate the hatch, stop air from coming around the hatch, separate that, can lights poking through the ceiling, all these little things, wires going down through a hole into a wall, caulk that so that temperature isn't coming up into that attic from that warm living space. You're trying to separate, you know, inside the attic is considered outside from the thermal envelope of the house. So the ceiling line is where you're trying to break that. So you get that frost, then you get your plywood sheeting starts going bad. That's one of the biggest reasons when we replace roofs here in St. Louis, we're always replacing a lot of the plywood sheeting, and it's generally because of the underside, not the top side. The top side, you've had felt, synthetic felt, shingles, all these things protecting it. So it's all coming from the inside and just weakening that plywood. And then you can get your mold that needs to be mitigated and all of that going on. So a lot happening in all of those situations. And this is something I deal with, unfortunately, all too common, all too often in our area with the temperature differences and all of that sort of stuff going on in St. Louis. So it's definitely a big thing, and keep your eyes open and just consider all of these possibilities and take a look around and make sure that things are looking up to snuff for you. And if they're not, get with me, get with a professional, kind of get some questions answered, get some stuff figured out. Educated consumer is the best consumer out there. So get yourself educated on what needs to happen. And you can do that by calling in here with me today. I got one segment left for you. If you got a burning question going on in your mind, we'll have time for you. Again, you can find me at 314-436-7900. We're going to jump into our final break, and hopefully we'll get a call from you when we return.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. We got about six straight minutes and a couple calls here, so let's get straight to Jim and see what's going on. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, sir. This might be a question you may answer, you may not. Now, this is like I'm pricing out a job.
Uh-huh. But
let's say if you're pulling up to you just talked about an $800,000 home.
Yep.
And you price them out, let's say, at $7,000 for do the job. And you pull up to another home saying this exact job, and you quote them at a cheaper rate. Or is it like that, or is it just one rate and that's it?
Well, I can tell you for us here at Mosby Building Arts, it's definitely just one rate and that's it. And I've explained that to people often about if you want a high-end bathroom and your bathtub costs $8,000 off the shelf, it's going to cost $8,000 no matter where you live. And it's the same thing with our hourly rates and what we do and how we build it. But I have heard, I mean, it's a great question because I've heard plenty of people go, and I don't want the Ledoux price. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, it's the Ledoux price is usually a higher investment because they want a Wolf range in their kitchen, not a GE.
Okay.
You know, see what I'm saying? So if the jobs were identical, it wouldn't matter if you were in Hazelwood, if you were in South County, or if you were in Ledoux, it would be the same.
Okay. So thank you, sir, and you do a great service. You've helped me out several times.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Jim. Thanks for calling. Let's jump over to Wally here. I got a couple minutes for you, Wally. Let's make it quick. What's up?
Yeah, I'm going to build a office in my basement, about 15 foot square.
Uh-huh.
Two walls are concrete. Two will be 2x4 studs. I want to soundproof it a bit, not as in a soundproof room, but I want to deaden the noise as much as I can because it's right below my master bedroom. And the rafters are open. So any recommendations on material I should use to help deaden that sound?
Yes. So if you're looking at the ceiling because of the what's above it, the biggest thing that gets sound through is movement and vibration. So sound comes from vibration. So one of the most effective things you could do is get some separation between the two. So what I would recommend is what you do is you insulate the cavity of that floor, that ceiling, with like a sound deadening insulation. And there is insulation that's not just normal. It is sound deadening. And then you put a sound board. It's a half inch thick, like a black foam kind of sound board. Sometimes it's brown. You use that like you would drywall, and you put that to the underside. And then you put these metal strips. They're isolators. So they screw through the soundboard to the floor joist, and you space them out. And okay. What they do is they kind of make like a Z shape, and it lowers down. So when you drywall that ceiling, you screw the drywall to the metal strip that's lower down on that side.
Oh, gotcha.
It creates a space where there's less vibration touching and traveling through, and that will get you your most effective sound deadening. The only other thing that I'd warn you about is the watch for ductworks, because you can do all this work, and then there's a ductwork line that sound runs right through from your office to there, or from there to your office, because you might consider, like, if there's something you can do with the ductwork, if there is one running through there right where your office is.
So yeah,
the ductwork can negate the whole thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's horrible.
One other question on the concrete walls. Any particular thing on there? One wall is 95% below ground. The other one's probably 60% below ground.
Yeah. So I would still say your framed two walls, frame those outside walls away from that concrete, and then you can put some little insulation in there. You really don't need it on the 95% side for the insulation per se, but the insulation will kind of help with that sound deadening. But you want to build a wall out, and then that gives you somewhere to put your outlets, your wiring, and your drywall to screw to.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
And no vapor barrier on the walls. You definitely no plastic, nothing that stops moisture from moving.
Okay.
Is a key. So, all right.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
Hey, you're welcome. I appreciate the call. And boy, we went right up to the last minute here. I appreciate all the great calls and questions. Love being able to get through them and help everybody out here. Love the input from the KMOX listening team and all the fans of the show out there also calling in to have suggestions and everything. So, hey, enjoy the Olympics this week. Maybe we'll get into a little bit of that with the houses and stuff in the Olympics next weekend. So be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next week.